Go.
Oh, you know that lady.
Good morning, Fairport. It's a pleasure being with you. For any visitors or anybody that's here, so thankful to have you with us today. We are here to worship and not lift our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No other reason. That's why we're here. So as we gather today, keep the church in prayer and keep all of the congregation here today that they might indeed be aware. We have a wonderful pastor today who is going to come and bring us the word that we need to hear. I think I need to hear a whole lot of words, but whatever. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this day. Have some announcements I need to make. We'll start with the National Night Out, which is Tuesday, August 6th, from 5 to 7 in Northumberland High School parking lot. The Young Disciples will represent Fairport Baptist Church in this event. This is a fun and informational community event. Please stop by the Fairport Baptist Church table and show your support for all of these young people that we're dealing with. The sanctuary carpet and cushions need a cleaning. So the sanctuary will be off limits until Sunday morning while the carpet and cushions are being done. They're doing it on August the 7th. You won't die if you come in here, but it's just be uncomfortable. So we're using it back until next Sunday. The prayer walk for Northumberland County Schools, Thursday, August the 8th at 4. You will meet at the flagpole in front of the middle high school. Please join our community as we pray for our students, our teachers, as we start a new year and invite God to be in the center of this school season. Community budgets, committee budgets need to be reported and are due at Finance Committee by August the 13th. If you have any questions, see Mr. Reuben Thrift. He's sitting back there, has a blue shirt on. He's easy to reach. He's got his hand raised up. So, the deacons in the WMA meeting will be moved to the 13th at 7 o'clock. Because of what's doing with the nightly National Night Out. It'll be the 13th. Summer Youth Fun Day. Saturday, August the 17th, 4 to 6. There will be water, games, food, and lots of fun. Please bring a change of clothes because you will be wet. You can bring your bathing suit or a towel. There is a sign-up sheet in the fellowship. See Michelle Jenkins with any questions. Young lady, sit right here on the end. She's the one you need to contact. Samaritan's Purse Community in July kickoff. The WMA will again this year sponsor Community Christmas Child by providing a gift-filled shoebox for children of all ages. Please see the insert in your bulletin in the fellowship hall, and there's information back there. Are there any announcement that I need to make other than what has been marked in your bulletin? None? Everything's good? All right. Are there any special prayer requests today that we need to be aware of?
Keep Debbie Gibbs in prayers there at the hospital now. She got stung by a bunch of bees, going walking dog.
I think she walked over a yellow jacket's nest, and they don't run away, they run to you, and it's bad. Keep Debbie in your prayers, and they're in the hospital, and everything is under control. But can y'all hear me in the back? You cannot. You cannot hear me? Debbie Gibbs is in the hospital from bee stings. Yes. Oh, you couldn't hear Jackie, but you can hear me. All right. I talk too loud probably, but anyway, that's just the way I talk.
Our church through the trials of last week, and I have every confidence
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Ouch. And broke his leg, and they put a bar up from his ankle to his thigh so that it would give his leg extra strength. He needs your prayers, and so does Drew.
We've definitely going to pray for Rick, but please keep Drew on your prayers. It's a difficult time for her. It's a difficult time for him. So we keep all of these in our prayers. We are thankful that God is so good. He's blessed this church. He's blessed us individually. Thank you for coming. We're going to have a time now that we can gather and greet our friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. And I will ring a bell when it's time to come home. Thank you so much. Before we start in our service today, let's bow for just a moment for a word of prayer. We ask that you personally reach out to a lot of people who you know, and we ask you to reach out to David L. Snyder because he needs a lot of prayers. Let's pray. Father, we come today to lift up and just to praise you for all that you've done. You have blessed this church and all of us individually to an extent that it's just unreal. We pray, Father, that as we walk the path that we have to walk, that you will keep us on that path. You will keep us in tune to what you would have done here in Fairport. For you are a great, patient, and gracious, but above all, loving Heavenly Father. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Okay, the first hymn this morning is hymn 83. There's something about that name. We'll sing it through two times.
Well, I lived in religious ways. Phase one was there, but we used to play Kick the Tin Can. Have you ever heard of that? Didn't have a video game. Take it out of that box. Show my toys. hold it up. Now, everybody could get a hold of a cast, but all I, could afford. All right, show the rest of the kids what you got. All right. Now, how do you play King Ticket? How many of you have played it? I didn't think you had. We used to play it in my yard a lot, and I would take a can and stick it in the middle of the yard. You can have it. I have no coins today, so you can have the can. But anyway, I'd put the can in the yard, and everybody would go hide. I'd count to 20 or 30. And then I'd go look for them. If I found them, I'd say, there's Johnny, there's Sally. And I'd run back to the can. If I got to the can first, I'd put them in jail. So the jail was my front steps. So then, but if they beat me back to the can and kicked it, I had to go to jail. So anyway, there's a little story in the Bible about the great escape. Now, Peter was one of Jesus' disciples, and Herod had put him in jail because he was telling everybody about Jesus. He didn't want everybody to know about Jesus. So he was jailed. So all the church, like this, prayed that God would release Peter from jail. So he sent an angel. He opened all the doors in the jail and told Peter to follow me. So he followed him. He took him back through town. And they went to the house and knocked on the door where all of his church members were praying and having a sermon. So they were so glad to see him. And they knew that their prayers had been answered by God. And that's what we have to do. How many of you have ever had a friend that had a problem? Doesn't mean he was in jail. Had a problem, was sick, or somebody got hurt. And what did you do about it? Pray? Great. It's a good idea. Now, if you do that, God will answer the prayers and help the person get well, get rid of the problem, whatever they had. And also, what the person will do then will go to church. What do? You go to church. Okay, remember that God wants you in church. You're here to worship him and talk to him. So let us have prayer, and then you can go to your class. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come to this house and worship you, to lead us in the path that you would have us to be. Take care of these young minds, these young people, and lead them where you want them to go. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We're going to pause now and want everybody to take a few minutes. I'm going to do a prayer, but I want everybody right now to take your time. You know somebody who's in need. You know somebody who needs help. You know somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I ask right now for a few minutes. I ask you to pray for them. Reach up to the Lord, and may what we say and do in this church bring them to the realization of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's our job. That's our mission. That's a covenant that we have with our Lord and Savior. I'm just going to have silent prayer for a few minutes. I want you to keep Debbie Gibbs in mind. She's now in the hospital. Everything seems to be okay. Special prayers for David J. Snyder. Please keep him in your prayers. He needs them. And we in Fairport Church most of all need them. We ask you to pray for our deacons, for our church family, and for churches everywhere. There are churches who are not having a real good time right now. Military families and the first responders, they're in a very difficult situation. Our country, our world, our nation, and for the nation of Israel. All of these, I pray that you would keep in mind this week as you go from the house of worship here in Fairport. Pick out one of these lines that's on your prayer list. Spend some time in calling each one by name this week and pray for them, because they, in fact, do need your prayers. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we come today in your house of worship, in your beautiful sanctuary that you have blessed this church with. You have blessed us so much, Father, that we don't have enough time to give you all the thanks for what you've done, collectively and personally. Father, we stand today in a very difficult time in our nation. We ask that you would help us and that you would intercede in some of these, that we might indeed again come back to "In God We Trust." We pray, Father, that you would use this church, use each of its members, use us as your servants, that we might go forth. Each of us has a calling. We don't know what yours is. Some don't know what mine is. But each of us has a spiritual gift, and God has called us that we might be a part of this ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is salvation. We pray today for our deacons that they might go through, as they go through a difficult time. We pray for our church family, and for churches all around in this community and in this area. We pray for them, Father, that they might indeed again be able to vibe, to be a viable church, to be able to gather together and pray and to speak and to seek the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's our job. For the members of the military, for the first responders, Father, indeed, they need our prayers. Where others run away, they run too. We ask a blessing upon each of them. We ask a blessing upon David L. Schneider as we pray today. But Father, as we gather here today, there's so many things that we need to put the business of God. God has a plan for Fairport Church. He has a plan for each of you. We ask, Father, as we go through difficult times, that you will lead us down the path that you would have us to be on, that we might be obedient to that path that you have set forth for Fairport Church. There's a lot of people talking. There's a lot of gossip. We don't need any of that. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to guide and direct us. We need to pray to him that he would indeed be the one that we reached out to and the one that would listen, that we might listen, not only listen, but to hear what he has for us to do and say in the days that lie ahead. Most of all, I want to thank you for this time together, for all of the members, guests, in our midst today. We ask a special blessing that you might place your hand upon them and give them that peace that only you can give them. So, Father, we ask right now at this time to bless this church, bless this nation, and most of all, we ask a blessing upon this congregation that they might be a part of what God would have us to do. We want to be your servants. We want to answer the calling that you've had each of us to do. The calling doesn't have to be a pastor, doesn't have to be a deacon, doesn't have to be a speaker. It could be taking care of the church. It could be praying for the people who need prayer. We ask our Father you would guide and direct us in whatever might be accomplished, no matter whether individually or collectively, that we give you all the praise and the glory. For it's in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Isaiah offertory hymn this morning is hymn number 581. We'll sing the first and last verses. 581. Stand as we sing, please.
Praise God this morning. Are you past the point of weary? Are your burdens weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you get that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing. And you break this for relief, and let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is sweet. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years. tell the powers to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. He can work it out for your good. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is sweet. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah, 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 amen, amen, amen. Who would take my cross at Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty? Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus, oh. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is sweet. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah, 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 amen, amen. Hallelujah, 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 and let my Jesus change your life.
Thank you.
Said, let Jesus change your life.
Amen.
You will never end up with a better life after you've met Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to make it all right. Today we are indeed blessed in our situation. I had to look around to make sure the pulpit was filled. I know none of you don't want to hear me. So, I'm going to bless you today by Mr. Willard Bourne, who's come to bring us a message. God bless. My friend, it's all yours.
Nora, when you get to Alabama, you find another church and you tell them about Jesus, okay? I thank you for the privilege that's mine to come share with you. By the way, do y'all stop at 12? I've learned to do it both ways. We did homecoming for a church one time, and the kitchen crew was preparing lunch. I got the pulpit at 5 minutes to 12. I told them, I'm sorry. I can't cut it for so much. But I have learned how to reduce the time. This morning, I know all of us had had those times when, by the way, let me stop right there, man. This morning, a little over, I got up at 4 o'clock this morning, and around 4:30, I was typing. There were some scripture verses on prayer that I wanted to mention today, but since you've been talking about prayer and all of that, let me give you these three verses. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call upon me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." In other words, God is saying, call upon me, and I'll give you things that you never thought was possible.
Amen.
That's what he was saying.
Amen.
Jeremiah 29, he says there in verse 15, I think it is, "Then shall you call upon me and pray unto me, and I will hearken, I will listen, I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me, and you shall find me, when you search for me with all your heart." Both of those are promises from God. And then in Psalm 91:15, He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. All are promises that God has made when we as God's people will be willing to call upon him and pray. I'm not going to read the whole text that we're going to look at this morning, but I do want us to look at Jeremiah chapter 33. I'm going to look at two verses basically today. And they are the verses from what we have. I'm sorry, back over to 33 was where this prayer was. Go to 37. I'm going to look at two verses. We're looking at a time when Zedekiah was king of Judah, and Judah was being invaded by an enemy force, and he called upon, he thought for a while and says, I remember there was a prophet here in the area. His name was Jeremiah. One of you guys go find him and bring him here. And when Jeremiah got there, Zedekiah the king had one request. He said to Jeremiah, in verse 3 of 37, pray now unto the Lord our God for us. As a pastor for 48 years, I've had the times, several times, or maybe many times, when I would ask our people, pray for us. Pray for your pastor. Pray for what's going on. Pray for the needs of the church and the people of the community. Just pray. And, of course, these prayers, I think we mentioned a verse that we mentioned about prayer. And then if you go on down through verses there below 3 and on to verse 17, you find Jeremiah was then in a dungeon. Some of the religious leaders didn't like what Jeremiah was saying, so they threw him in jail. And Zedekiah the king sent for him and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in the house and said, is there any word from God? Has God had something to say to you, prophet? He was telling Jeremiah, has God had anything to say to you about us? Has God given you any instructions of how you can help us? Is there any word from the Lord? Let me give you the Bowen paraphrase. He was saying, Jeremiah, have you heard from your God lately? And Jeremiah said, there is a message from God. Now, I realize that sometimes we ask questions that we may get an answer. For example, if you were going to your tax, a guy who fills out your taxes, and you would ask, how much taxes do I have to pay this year? And he would say, none. You'd like that answer, wouldn't you? How would you like the answer if you asked the same question and the guy said, well, basically at least 7, 5, maybe 10,000 you'll have to pay? I'm sure I wouldn't like that answer, and I'm sure you wouldn't either. But sometimes we ask questions and the answer is not exactly what we would like. That's what happened to Zedekiah. He said, Jeremiah, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. And here's what's going to happen. The enemy forces are coming to Jerusalem, and they're going to destroy the city. They're going to burn it to the ground, and they're going to capture you and all of your people and take you in captivity. I'm so sure Zedekiah didn't like that answer a bit. But I want us to think on that question. Is there any word from the Lord? I'm sure what you're going through, I don't know all the details, but I know it's difficult. And I'm sure some of you may be asking, is there any word from the Lord on what we're going through? There is. There is. I'm going to be sharing that with you in a moment. As we think about the question, Zedekiah's question is a repeated question. There are people all the time asking, is there any word from the Lord? Or they come to the pastor and say, Pastor, do you have a word for us? And most of the time I have a word. Some they like and some they don't like. But we as pastors are charged to preach it in season, out of season. In other words, we're charged to preach the word when they like it and preach it when they don't like it. But just preach the word. That's our mandate. And so, is there a word from the Lord? Zedekiah asked. And it's a repeated question today. In some cases, folks, in answering that question, they try to answer it themselves and they turn to wealth. If I can accumulate enough money, I'll be able to take care of my question. I'll be able to solve my own problem. Some turn to money. Money can buy happiness and contentment, but it can't buy true happiness. It can't bring you the contentment you're desiring, because only the Lord can give you contentment. In some cases, to fill their emptiness of their heart, they think of pleasure and the things of life, things of this world. And they take part in every pleasure the world has to offer, and only to end up marred and scarred by sin. And some become more miserable than ever. Many find the emptiness of their heart or try to fill it with wealth and pleasure, yes. Some conclude that the only way out of this thing is I can satisfy it with a bottle of booze. I can satisfy it with a bottle of pills. I can satisfy it with a needle in the arm. I can satisfy it with some kind of high, only to find out when they regain soberness, their problem is still there. And the answer has not come. Folks today are overwhelmed in life. We're living in a very frustrated society. Folks are uncertain about the time in which we live. Folks are concerned about economic disaster. Folks are concerned about nuclear warfare. And they keep asking, is there any word from God on this? Is there any hope? Is there any comfort for us? Anything that can bring calmness to our hearts in this frustrated world in which we live? So Zedekiah's question has become a repeated question. What does God have to say about all this? Remember that verse in Psalm, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him, and he will answer you. Seek the Lord. Prayer is important for your life. In a time like this, prayer is real, real important. Bathe it in prayer. Jeremiah's question is also an answered question. Jeremiah's answer to Ezekiel was not what Ezekiel was hoping for. The answer contained no words of comfort and hope for Zedekiah and his people. They were told they would be conquered and they would be captured and they would become in the care of another nation. But beloved, I know Zedekiah's story is sad. But let's not contrast that with the question we ask today. Is there any word from the Lord? Because the answer is different. There is a word. You see, the answer comes back to us from the word. And there is a word. There is an answer. And that answer that God gave to Jeremiah and Jeremiah gave to Zedekiah is an answer filled with comfort and hope and deliverance. You see, God has recorded for you and me when we ask that question. He has the answer for us right here in His Word. And here's what He says. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and He has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, and that's Jesus Christ. Here is our answer to the age-old question. Is there any word from the Lord? Yes, there is. And there is a word. And that answer that God gives us came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Listen how John, the beloved apostle, put it in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In other words, Jesus Christ was and is the eternal Word of God that God has given to us to help us find our answers when we ask Him the question, is there any word from the Lord? Beloved, remember, God's eternal Word became God's express Word. Don't you see what John is trying to say to us in that John 1 chapter? He was telling us, folks, if you want to see what God is like, all you need to do is look at Jesus. If you want to know what God has to say, all you need to do is listen to Jesus. If you want to know the heights of God's love and mercy, look to Jesus on that old rugged cross, and you'll find it. If you want to know and love God personally and intimately, all you need to do is love Jesus personally and intimately. If you want to get close to God, all you need to know is get closer to Jesus. Do you understand how that works? The closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to know about Him. The more you know about Him, the more you're going to love Him. The more you know about Him and the more you love Him, the closer you want to get to Him. So it's a revolving cycle. The closer you get makes you want to get closer. And when you feel like you're almost there, you still want to get closer. So He is our source of answers to our questions. Because John said, in Him was life, and this life was the light of men. Yes, there is a word from God to all of us today. And that word has come to us through Jesus Christ. When Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem, God was saying, I have a word for you folks, so don't ignore it. God has sent light into this world of darkness, and that light for us is Jesus. God has sent a word of hope for those in despair and hopelessness. And that hope is Jesus. God has sent a word of life and light of those living in darkness of sin, and that life and light is Jesus. John 10, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life. And you may have it how? What's the next part of that verse? That you may have it more abundantly. In other words, he was saying, you'll have life, but you can have better life than some people that don't know me as their Lord. Thanks be to God, there is an answer. Because Zedekiah's question is an answered question. Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, yes. We ask it, is there any word from the Lord? And Jesus says, yes. And I'm the answer. Zedekiah's question is also a directed question. Yes, it's a question that's repeatedly asked. It's a question that requires an answer. But it's also a question that is directed to all of us. So this morning, your question may be, God, in the midst of all we're going through, do you have a word for us? The verse that comes to mind is in Psalm 46, when the scripture says, and I love it, be still and know that I am God. God wants us to just be still and listen to his still small voice as he answers your question, what to do, and the times you're going through. It's directed. By that I mean, the question that's directed is there any word from the Lord? That's our question. But it's also a question that is directed to each one of us. And it's a question that demands an answer. Directed in the sense that God is saying to each of us this morning, there is a word from the Lord. There is a word from me, God says, to you. And I'm giving you that word in Jesus Christ, my son. So the question that comes out of that question is simply one directed to all. What has been your response to the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who died on the cross that you may have life and have it more abundantly? Many folks, we'll just ignore it all. I have no place for the Lord in my life. I have no place for the church. I don't want to talk to the preacher, and I don't want the preacher to talk to me. I love that song. Tell me one more time about Jesus. About the man who said, here comes the preacher, and I don't, he's been here before. And then one morning, Sunday morning, he steps out and walks down the road. And he happened to walk by the back of the church. And he says, I'm going to slip in. The preacher was preaching on sins and repentance and the need of salvation. He said, I didn't run, but I got to the altar real quick. And I just said, preacher, tell me one more time about Jesus. And that may be what some people need today. Because, you know, you can ignore him, yes, but you shouldn't. You can do nothing about him, and again, you shouldn't. You can be neutral, do nothing, And you shouldn't. And why do I say you shouldn't? Because there are only two responses you can make to God's offer of salvation to you and to me. He says, I've come to seek those that are lost. And I want to transform the lives of those that come to know Jesus. So there are only two options available to us. Let me say it very clearly. There are only two options that you can do and you can respond to the Son of God. You can love Him, you can accept Him, and you can make Him the Lord and love of your life. That's object number one. Number two, the other option. You can ignore Him, you can reject Him, you can turn your back on His love, and you can say to Him by doing so, Lord, I just don't want You to be part of my life. As I saw a movie star do one time when he was talking about religion, he balled his fist up and said, I tell the Lord to mind His own business and I'll mind mine. I said, brother, you're on thin ice with God. So there are only two options. Some people say, well, that's kind of narrow to say that either I've got to accept Jesus or I'm rejecting Him. You say, some people say, that's too narrow. It's got to be more open than that. Well, let's let Jesus tell us about it. Because here's what He said on the subject. Matthew 20:30, Jesus said, He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me is scattering abroad. He goes on to make it very clear in John 3:18. He says, He that believeth on me is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Those are the words of Jesus. Jesus said you have only two options. You can accept me or you can reject me, but you are doing one or the other in life right now. I thank God this morning for all of those folks who've made the choice to accept Jesus as their personal Savior, to surrender their heart and life to Him and begin to live and honor Him with your life. I thank God for all of those who by faith have surrendered their heart and life to Jesus Christ and are seeking each day to live, to honor and glorify Him. I'm saddened by the multitudes of people, and I know many of them, who have made the choice to reject Jesus, turn their back on His love, walk away, saying to Him, Jesus, I reject You. That's my choice. And they have never taken a stand for the Lord. And they end up unforgiven, unsaved, and on their way to a godless eternity. Because you see, the Bible very clearly says, there is no other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby you, M-U-S-T, must be saved. So, the truth of the matter is, everybody in this church has made one or two of those two decisions. You've either accepted the Lord or you haven't. You're either saved or you're not. You're on your way to heaven or you're on the way to the other place we don't like to talk about. It's your choice. The question of the age is this. Is there any word from the Lord? And that is a repeated question. Many people ask it. It's an answered question. Jeremiah answered it for Zedekiah. God has answered it for us through His Son. It demands a response. That question does. And the question of the ages brings with it another question. And that is, what choice have you made concerning Jesus? There are only two options. I would hope you made the right one. If not, don't put it off any longer. Father, we thank you for the hour. We thank you for this time together with these people. And Lord, we've just shared our heart this morning. We know they're hurting. We know they're seeking for an answer. But first of all, Lord, they need to make sure they've given you the right answer about their relationship to you. Because then they can be vessels that God will use to solve the problem they're faced with today. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.